Scripture reading from the New Testament is from John chapter 15. As we continue to work our way through Jesus' farewell discourse, the section that we've been studying here is where Jesus is telling his disciples that it will not be easy to follow him, that in fact they should expect that the world will hate them as they go forth. And in that context, we'll pick up what he says at verse 26, for he gives them assurance here at the coming of the Counselor as they prepare to be sent forth into the world by Christ. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Let's pray. Well, Father, we pray now that through your Spirit, you might speak to each one of us that word that we need to hear, that would go deeply into our hearts and change us in some way, that for having listened to your word this morning, we might be more like Christ in some way, in a more deep, satisfying, effective way. Continue to make us like him by the power of your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. My daughter once told me that she felt sorry for the Holy Spirit. That was after a discussion that we were saying, you know, that the Holy Spirit is in some ways the humble servant of the Trinity, bringing glory to the Father and the Son. And it is true that I think the Holy Spirit gets less, shall we say, press than the other two persons of the Trinity. I mean, for example, even in the Westminster Confession of Faith, there's not a chapter on the Holy Spirit. I mean, Holy Spirit's reference, but there's not. He doesn't get his own chapter. If you look at your hymnal, you'll notice that the first 135 hymns are in some way geared toward praising of the Father or of God in some general way. And then you've got the next 170 hymns that are specifically referencing Jesus. And then you've got a big whopping 12 hymns that are specifically geared toward the Holy Spirit. I don't know, are you starting to feel sorry for the Holy Spirit, anyone? Well, look, I don't think that the Holy Spirit is complaining, because the Holy Spirit's delight and joy is to give glory to the work of the Son and to the work of the Father. You would not know the Father. You would not know the gospel. You would not have a hope of eternal life had it not been for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so let us rejoice and be grateful for the comforting grace of the Holy Spirit. And then just 2 points. He is sent from the Father, and he testifies of the Son. Jesus has already made several references to the Holy Spirit already, and now here he again is focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit. Next week we're also going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. But here he's referred to as the Counselor. Sometimes this gets translated the Comforter. The word here is actually the Greek word paraclete, which gets translated in various ways. Yeah, counselor, comforter, could mean advocate or intercessor. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible called The Message, he translates the word a friend. God will send the friend, and he will come. I think all those sort of capture the essence of what we're talking about when we think about the Holy Spirit. This third person that we refer to of the Trinity who comes to the church offering counsel and comfort, helping, friendship, who's got on your side, who literally comes alongside with you, brings the very electricity of God very experientially into our hearts and into our lives. You want to note that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit in the personal pronoun He. The Spirit is He will go forth from the Father. He will testify concerning me. So you already get a sense this is a person that we're talking about. In the early days of the church, in the first few centuries of the church, as they're trying to understand, okay, what kind of God just got revealed to us in the coming of Christ? And trying to kind of put together how are we to think about God now? You can really think of these would be the kind of verses that they had to grapple with. That here's this person who's called the Holy Spirit, but is also equated with God, and we have a Father and a Son, and they're both equated with God. And how does that all come together? Well, it's out of these kinds of verses that the church begins to articulate then, as in the creed we've read earlier, the doctrine of the Trinity. So, a comforter dwells in the heart of every Christian, a counselor, a friend, an advocate, a God who has come alongside, who is not far but near. I think we could to tweak the hymn that we sang earlier, a Holy Spirit, what a friend for sinners. We want to think about that a little bit more. Now, I should note that verse 26, now allow me for a moment to just chase a little bit of a theological rabbit trail before we come back to this theme. Verse 26 is actually pretty controversial in the life of the church. And so what's controversial, or has been controversial, and maybe you never thought of this as a controversy, but this reference to that the Holy Spirit who goes out from the Father, okay, who goes out, you see that phrase? The Holy Spirit who goes out from the Father. When we read the Nicene Creed earlier, that word is the word proceeds. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. So the Son is begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. Now what does that mean? Proceed? Yeah. Good question. I mean, he extends out forth from the Father. He issues forth from the Father. What other words? He spirates from the Father. He is breathed out from the Father. These would be words that get us close to the idea of the procession of the Spirit. So we want to make this distinction within the Trinity, right? That the Son is eternally begotten, but the Holy Spirit is eternally proceeds from the Father. So there's no sense then in which we want to say that the Holy Spirit is like another Son of God. No sense in which the Holy Spirit and Jesus are like some kind of brothers. The relationship between the Father and Son is one of eternal begottenness. The relationship between the Father and the Holy Spirit is an act of eternal procession, eternal sending out. And I don't know how to go much far beyond that in understanding that. Again, I think when we get into these kinds of issues, we're really into the mystery of the Trinity. But if that's not complicated enough, here's where the real controversy is. In the Third Church Council of Toledo, and you might wonder, what good ever comes from Toledo? But in the Third Church Council of Toledo, obviously Spain, the Western Church inserted the phrase, The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. That was the standard creed, but then they included, and from the Son, commonly referred to as the filioque controversy. Filioque meaning that phrase, and of the Son. And this actually, while this was controversial, it actually was the final straw in the camel's back that caused the what's called the Great Schism of 1054, where the Eastern Church went one way and the Western Church went another way. Now, there were other issues. This wasn't the only issue. And there were probably more significant cultural, political, and linguistic issues that caused this. But filioque controversy was what broke the camel's back in this, and the two churches have been separate ever since. Now you might wonder, well, what would be such a big controversy over the inclusion of the phrase that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son? If you're an Eastern Orthodox person, your concerns about that would have been that filioque clause, it compromises the headship of the Father within the Trinity. Eastern Orthodox wanted to say the Father is the source of the Trinity, the source of the Father, or the source of the Son and the Holy Spirit eternally, and they felt that to include of the Son, from the Son, compromised that. I suppose if you were Eastern Orthodox, you might have also said, you know, verse 26, He proceeds, or He comes forth from the Father. Verse 26. They might have said something like, what part of the Father don't you understand, you Western people? Because that's what it says. The Western Church, on the other hand, would have said that the Eastern view separated the work of the Father from the Son and the Holy Spirit. After all, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. In fact, even Jesus says in our very verse, I will send. I will send. So there's some involvement in the Christ in the sending of the Holy Spirit. I always thought, why didn't they, if they would have said the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son, I don't know, that seems like that would have made everybody happy, but apparently not. And so you're, now you're, okay, now I'm coming back. I'm just done with my theological rabbit chasing. You might wonder, you know, good grief. Is that such an important deal? And I suppose, you know, churches have split over more stupider, is that a word? Stupider stuff than this. Actually, stupider is a good word because it's kind of ironic. The stupider. Churches. And I suspect that part of the division was not trusting in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to begin with. But here's the point for us today. Okay, now I'm back. Okay. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to the church. And the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. And that's awesome. That's powerful. You know, it's easy in some way to think of the Father maybe as up in heaven. And then a lot of times when we think of Jesus, we tend to think of, well, what happened 2,000 years ago. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking 2015, God dwelling within your little world. That God shares your world with you. You know, that little world that you live in, the world of your thoughts, the world of your memories. Your little world with all of its brokenness and pain, with all of its hopes and desires, with all of its disappointments and weaknesses, with all of its sorrows and fears and worries. You know, that little world that you inhabit, the Holy Spirit shares that world with you. And that's awesome that God, through Christ, lives within us in that way. You're not alone in that world. He is your comforter, your counselor, your advocate, your paraclete, your friend in the wild, crazy journey of this life. So what's the Holy Spirit do? He's sent. Jesus really sums it up also in verse 26, where he says, the Holy Spirit is going to testify concerning me. So we'll want to know that there's something very Christ-centered about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all about shining a light on the work and person of Jesus Christ. Several years ago, when we went on a family vacation to Niagara Falls, we actually spent the night there. And at night, at Niagara Falls, the night we were there, they did this night light laser show on the falls. And so we're standing there, and then they shine these bright lights of all kinds of different colors and lasers that make all kinds of designs on the falls. And, you know, it was spectacular. I mean, it was beautiful. It felt like we were in some kind of magic land. The Holy Spirit, like a light, shines upon Christ and says, look at the beauty and awesomeness and wonder of this person, Jesus Christ. Look to him. Put your hope in him. Trust in him. Cling to him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. If there's something in you this morning that says, I need Jesus. I would be lost without Jesus. He's my hope. He's my only. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Shines the light on Christ. Think about it. In your conversion, when you become a Christian, at the beginning, it's the Holy Spirit that you first encounter. He's the first one you run into. He is the one that regenerates you, opens up your heart, helps you to see your need for Christ, convicts you of your sin, and effectively persuades and enables you to put your hope in Christ to begin with. You couldn't even believe and trust in Christ if it weren't for the Holy Spirit's work. And then think about the Holy Spirit's role in life. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit here as a comforter or as a counselor. And then a little later there, he kind of implies, because you're going to need one. Right? Look at what he says around the beginning of verse 16. Here's what's going to happen to you guys. You're going to be put out of the synagogue because of me. Now that's depressing. Right? I mean, the synagogue, that would have been the very people that Jesus came to witness to and to be the Messiah. Jesus is telling the disciples, you're gonna preach in the synagogue and they're gonna drive you out. That's depressing and absurd, isn't it? Or he says, there's gonna come a time when people are going to kill you thinking that they are offering a service to God. It's kind of depressing too, isn't it? I mean, imagine. He's saying, there are going to be people who are going to kill you, and in the process of killing you, they are actually going to think that they are doing God a service. They are helping God. And by the way, yes, this still happens. I mean, right, we heard of 30 Ethiopian Christians this week who were beheaded on a beach in Libya by people who thought they were doing God a favor by killing them. So Jesus is telling us here it's not going to be easy following Christ. It's not going to be easy being a Christian. And by the way, anyone who follows Christ, you know full well that in one way or another, eventually you're going to bleed. Now there are various ways of bleeding in this world, but you know as well as I do that if you say, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to be a part of his church, I'm going to live for him, I'm going to seek him, you know that it's going to hurt at some point. You're going to feel pain. You're going to bleed. You're going to become weary. You're going to become discouraged. You're going to suffer. you're going to think, perhaps this is all absurd, and you might think, perhaps I've been abandoned by God. The Holy Spirit says, look to Christ. Look to Christ. When those thoughts fill your head, look unto Jesus. When you're full of guilt and shame and feel like a failure, Holy Spirit says, look, don't look there, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He testifies in your hope is in Jesus. If you feel, I'm just too weak. I'm too weak to follow Christ. I'm too weak to do this. I can't do this. Holy Spirit says, look to Jesus. Your strength is in Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you. Look to Jesus. If you're feeling, you know, nothing, what possible good could ever come out of this situation? The Holy Spirit says, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Isn't He the one who said, I can work all things together for good for those who love me and are called according to my purpose. Look to Jesus. When you're feeling abandoned by God, the Holy Spirit says, look to Jesus. When you're carrying sorrows, Holy Spirit says, look to Jesus. He came to carry your sorrows, to carry your burdens. Look to Jesus. There's hope. There's the hope. The Holy Spirit always convicts us to hope. It's those other voices that come from downstairs that convict us to despair. The other voices from downstairs say, yeah, you're too much of a goner. This is too messed up. God's really not in this. You might as well just quit. No good is going to come from this. You're too weak. You're too messed up. You're too lost. Your sorrows are too overwhelming. Yeah, those voices of despair are not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you to hope. I remember the line in Anne of Green Gables where he said, Matilda, I think, says to Anne, to despair is to turn your back on God. The Holy Spirit convicts to hope. The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. Holy Spirit doesn't point to Himself. I think it's okay that there are only 12 hymns in our book about the Holy Spirit. I think that's actually appropriate. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is look to Jesus. And as we look to Jesus, what happens? He reconciles us to the Father. So the Holy Spirit says, look to Jesus. And in looking to Jesus, we are reconciled to the Father. And the Holy Spirit says, isn't that beautiful? Look at the beauty of that. Marvel in the beauty of that. Rejoice in the beauty of that. For He is the light that illumines Christ and our hope in Him. He is the light that brings the message of Christ to the world and turns us into witnesses for Him. Our call to the world, look to Christ. Look to Christ. In Him we have a paraclete, a comforter who dwells within us, a friend along the way, a counselor, an advocate, whose symbol is a dove. Remember, the dove is imagery that goes back to what? To the flood story, right? What's the dove say to Noah and his family? But judgment is over. There's peace. There's peace, and a new creation awaits you. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Let's pray. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank You for even Your presence in this building today. That You have spoken to us in some way through the Word or through preaching or through a song or through a prayer, through music, that you've spoken to us in some way. You've spoken a word of encouragement and strength to us. Perhaps we've listened and we've moved a little closer to being like Christ. today. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for your ministry to us every day. We don't thank you enough for what you do for us. I'm just going to give you a moment of silence and just allow the Holy Spirit to move in your own heart. And whatever he might be telling you or saying to you or anything you need to pray to God, I'll give you a window to do that. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all your quickening powers. Kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Lord, hear our prayer. It's in the name of Christ.